Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
Ah, Monday morning. How was your weekend, Abby? Give us one big old highlight.
Ooh, one big highlight? For me, like, my favorite thing, maybe not in the world, but my favorite thing to do on a weekend is just to get dressed up and go sit at a bar by myself and then meet friends for dinner. And that's exactly what I did this weekend.
Okay.
I posted up, did my hair, did my makeup, went to Yepa, had a delightful Aperol spritz, and then met my friends at Del Bar, which is probably one of my favorite restaurants in Atlanta. And then we just cackled and giggled and hee hee ha ha laughed for hours. And it was just delightful. And then I ended the night with Shake Shack. It was lovely.
Okay, that does sound like a nice night. The highlight of my night was, or my weekend, I should say, was a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds beating Tennessee on Saturday night. Completely changed my mood. Kids that I don't know that are younger than my oldest kid, completely and totally controlling my life for three and a half hours. But we came out on top. So I would say that that is the highlight. Again, when I say we, I am talking about the school that I did not attend, University of Georgia. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. We had an awesome play date Saturday morning with some friends. And when I went over to their house, and, you know, Jimmy's playing with their two little girls, I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, when was the last time we were able to get together? And this parenthood thing, such a racket. I was like, oh my God, we haven't seen the girls since March, since Jimmy's birthday. But we had the best play date. It was just good for the soul, good for the kids, good for her and I. And we promised each other we're not going to wait and wait another 6 months before we, you know, get everybody back together.
I really admire your attitude when it comes to neighborhood and friends in the neighborhood. I really do.
Yeah.
I think I had that kind of relationship somewhat when I lived right down from the radio station here years and years and years ago. We were, and it happens organically also.
Yeah.
The kids in the neighborhood just happen to be the same age and they bring the parents together. But even then, quite honestly, I didn't connect the way you do with the adults in the neighborhood. And it's, I think it's great for the for not only the adults, but the kids, too, when you have that.
No, it is. And thank you for that. This wasn't a neighborhood friend. This was a friend that I've had for, you know, 14 years.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And we just we had to travel to go to them. So
gotcha.
They're not in the neighborhood. That's why we haven't seen them in 6 months.
Got it.
But it was a fantastic play date. And Jimmy was, you know, it's a good play date when your kid is super sad to leave. it doesn't want to leave.
Cassie, the highlights of your weekend.
I went to Avalon yesterday up in Alpharetta for my noon tonight fashion show fitting, benefiting Burt's Big Adventure. So that was a lot of fun. And they had like a cool little arts and crafts festival. And my daughter got a play date with a friend she hadn't seen since like last school year. I know. So that was my highlight. The rest of it was just couch rot. I just needed a couch rot weekend.
Okay.
So I ended up deep cleaning the trailer instead. But otherwise, couch rotting.
We are going to talk a lot about noon tonight over the course of the next couple of days. It is Thursday night, and the silent auction items we just found out about, oh my God.
They're good.
They're above and beyond this year, so we'll get into it here in just a couple of minutes. Kristen thought this was important to start the week.
Yeah, just in light of how the news has been affecting people in their moods.
What news?
Yes.
Let's not.
What news?
Let's just not. Let's just say globally.
Kristen, why don't you tell us everything that happened last week? And then your opinion on it.
You know what? That is a lovely offer, Abby. I'm going to pass. But what I am going to do is, it's time for us to try to like spread a little positivity, spread a little joy, share any of the good news we have in our life that we have come across on the internet. Believe it or not, there is good news to be found on the internet. You just got to look a little harder, dig a little deeper to find it.
I got to be honest with you. Mine didn't even happen on the internet, thank God.
Mine didn't either.
All right. So the internet to me, man, I got to be honest with you. And I have really been present to this over the course of the last year that the job that we have is very unique, that we have to be online every single day. If I did not have this job, I would not be online every single day, and I would have a little bit more control of what I have to read online, because I do know now, and maybe it's because I'm just getting older, that things affect me in a different way, right? So when I see such division and when I scroll through any one of my social media platforms, it just seems so negative and negative and negative and negative. Oh, that's kind of fun. Negative, 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 negative. That it really does try to get to me. And normally it would be very easy. Just don't go, right? We are forced to go because of this job. And it's one of the bummers of this job, and it's kind of one of the bummers of this world. So I didn't go online to find this one. Let me tell you about this, and then it'll all come full circle for a second. Let me tell you guys about Blue Skies. This is right from their website. Blue Skies is a ministry that offers hope through beach camps, mountain getaways, and local programs to lift families above the clouds of childhood cancer. Our mission is to bring the hope of Jesus to families living through the challenges of pediatric cancer so that children who are sick will laugh and play and feel quote unquote normal again, that siblings will feel cherished and enjoy uninterrupted family fun. So think of Bert's Big Adventure, except for different kind of things like the beach, mountains. They also say these domestic mission trips are staffed by compassionate volunteers who share hope through caring for the families we serve. So I could full stop right there and go, I just want to highlight those guys, but there's a reason why I am. We have a Bert's Big Adventure family member that went on Bert's Big Adventure in 2014. His name is Colton, and Kristen visited him this weekend. I visited him this weekend at Winship. And in talking to him and watching football with him yesterday, I was asking him, like, so, like, because he's 22 years old now. He's a man.
I know.
He's a man.
When we were talking and it was like, oh my God, he went on the triple for a decade ago. That's crazy.
Yeah. He's doing man things like volunteering, right? So he volunteers at Blue Skies even when he is fighting cancer right now. And he's been at Winship for a couple of weeks now, a month now, right? It's taken its toll on him for sure. I could feel that when I was with him, even though he's trying to have great spirits. But this kid has started to volunteer at Blue Skies, even while he's suffering from cancer. He went on the beach with like his walker to hang out with these kids on a bunch of these different trips. In fact, his mom thinks he was kind of responsible for a bunch of the kids getting baptized when they were at the beach together, because he did it on one of the trips. Some of the younger kids saw Colton do that, so they decided to get baptized also. And I just thought, there's nothing better than that going on in the world right there. So thank you to Colton for bringing that here.
I love it. The world doesn't suck news. So we got to have a lunch with some Bert's Big Adventure staff. One of the doctors, Dr. Michelle, she has retired from doctoring, and we were celebrating her. But I got to see a friend and her baby bump. She has been trying to get pregnant for years, has been dealing with infertility with her wife, and they are successful. And to see that baby bump in person, knowing everything that they have been through to get to this point, it was just, it's a feel good. It's a game changer. It's a day changer. And I'm so excited for the two of them and so happy that they are finally going to become the moms they've always wanted to be.
There are days like there were last week, you know, where you really have to kind of struggle to see the miracles in the world. And that's a miracle right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, a miracle through science, a miracle through whatever you want to call it. That is a miracle.
I mean, we were having a very nice lunch and I was this close to being like, can I touch it? But I didn't. I kept my hands to myself.
Cass, what'd you find?
So during the height of the pandemic lockdown a few years ago, there was a 12-year-old named Asher Rosenfield who lives in New York City, who started a program called Audibles with Asher, where he would host weekly reading sessions on Zoom for kids and young adults with special needs. And a lot of those parents said it was like a lifeline, especially when everything was locked down. 5 years later, at 17, he's still reading to these same kids and young adults. And he even sends them books as well. So he said, the same kids I started reading with at the start of seventh grade, I'm reading with again at the start of my senior year. He reads the books to each participant and he sends them books as well. And I just thought, in a world right now that's just thrown into chaos and so divisive, a story of a kid helping other people with no benefit to him whatsoever and continuing to do it, I think is just beautiful.
Look, I think what we have here is a reoccurring theme that if you're looking at miracles and looking for positive, look to kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All three of ours so far are about kids, right? How about you?
So for me, I've been thinking a lot about breaking glass ceilings in your head and how you can become anything new at any point in your life. Even if you think outside circumstances or your own limitations can hold you back from doing things. So, of course, this weekend, the Emmys, the 77th Emmys were this weekend. And this guy made history. Owen Cooper from this show called Adolescence. Mm-hmm. He just made history as the youngest ever recipient of the Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited or Anthology Series or Movie Award.
That's the show I was telling you about for like weeks, remember?
Uh-huh.
The one from, yeah.
I finally watched it.
You did.
That kid is so deserving of that award.
It is his first acting job, I think.
It's his first acting job, and he says in his speech, and I'll play it for you later during eBuzz, he's like, I literally just started these classes like a couple years ago. I didn't even think I was going to get out of my own country, and here I am on the biggest stage in entertainment accepting this award. So, very cool.
It was really, really, and if you haven't seen that movie, what do you call it, a movie?
It's not a movie. It's a series.
You can get caught up in the cinematography of it because it was shot in one shot.
Each episode.
There was no editing, zero, right? But the storyline of incel culture really brought that to light with a lot of people. It was brilliant.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Entertainment Buzz coming up in like 60 seconds.
I'm going to play you this very inspiring audio from 15-year-old Owen Cooper. He just made history by becoming the youngest ever recipient of the Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited Series at the Emmys.
I got to tell you guys about the vanity panic that came over me yesterday. I told you that I was at Winship Cancer Institute visiting one of our Burt's Big Adventure kids who's been in there for 30 days, right? So as I'm on my way out, he's on the 15th floor and I get into the elevator and whoever it was in that elevator before I got in farted so bad. It must have been a 380-pound man that ate nothing but Buc-ee's and hamburgers all weekend long.
Let me tell you, my four-year-old will clear a room before my husband does.
But there's something different about an elevator, man. Okay, you are trapped in there. Now, I didn't realize it until I was on floor 14, but it was so bad that I'm starting to panic now that for two reasons. A, I can't take it because I really feel like I'm living up somebody's butt right now. And secondly, if somebody else gets on this elevator before I get down to the parking garage, they're going to think it's me.
Yeah.
So I started pushing buttons to get off of the elevator.
Shut up.
But yes. So like at 11, I would hit 11 and it was already past 11 and then I would hit 10 and it was already past 10.
You're doing that thing in Elf where he's just like.
Pretty much. I should have done just all one hand but couldn't do it until I finally got to the bottom. And as I got from floor one to the parking garage, when those doors opened, I was just praying there was nobody there. I was literally praying to God, Jesus, please make sure that there's nobody here. Because that fart lasted from 15 down to the parking garage and the doors open and there was nobody there. And I felt such relief. But he panicked for 15 floors, man, thinking that came out of that little guy? That's a lot of protein.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I think one of the most touching acting speeches to come out of last night's 77th Primetime Emmy Awards came from 15-year-old British actor Owen Cooper. He was a star in a show that Bert has talked about called Adolescence, and he became the youngest ever recipient of the Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited or Anthology Series or Movie Award, which might be the longest title for an award ever.
It's absolutely shocking when you've watched it to realize that this was the very first production he's ever been in. You have to go and like re-Google it because you're like, that can't be.
Well, it's all downhill from here, obviously, for him. Yeah. Because he said that in his speech that he recently started just taking these acting classes. And he says that he surprised himself that he never thought that he'd even get out of his own country, let alone get on one of the biggest stages in entertainment.
Standing up here is just, wow, it's just so surreal. Honestly, when I started these drama classes a couple of years back, I didn't expect to be even in the United States, never mind here. I think tonight proves that if you listen and you focus and you step out your comfort zone, you can achieve anything in life. Like I was nothing about 3 years ago. I'm here now. So I think if you listen and you focus and you just step out your comfort zone a little bit, who cares if you get embarrassed? You know, anything can be impossible. But a big thanks to my parents, to my mum, my dad, my family, the ones who love me and the ones who I love. Stephen, Erin, Ashley, Phil Barantini, Jack Thorne, Joe Johnson. Is that going down? No.
He was so good in that thing. And I think I said this before, not only him, but the whole supporting cast was fantastic. It's one of the few shows or movies that I've watched that when the credits are rolling at the end, you're just in complete silence and on the brink, if not crying.
Oh yeah. Talk about pulling at your heartstrings watching that thing. I am curious as to how he got in the supporting actor category, because I feel like he was the lead. It was about him. I'm fascinated to know like how they shakes out.
I'm going to ask Dr. GPT after this break and I'll let you know in the next one. But what was it about that show that really kept you in silence at the very end of it? Like what resonated with you?
As a parent, you put yourself in the place of the parents that are going through this with their kid who's done something that is unforgivable and grew up in an environment where it just doesn't make sense. Like it's every parent's worst nightmare where you do the best you can. And when you're looking back at the history with your child, you can't really figure out exactly how you raised a child that was capable of this, because it just doesn't make any sense. And now the child's life is, and there are so many children's life in this particular show that are changed forever, and your kid is responsible for that, which makes you the parent feel like you're responsible for it also. And they've just, yeah, it's just heartbreaking on a million different levels.
It's gut-wrenching.
Yeah, it obviously resonated with a lot of other people because that's why he won. But one of the things that he said in his speech that really resonated with me that I also recently saw Austin Butler talk about is who cares if you get embarrassed? And that's kind of what I tell everybody when they're asking for advice, like when college kids email me or whatever, I'm like, you got to climb cringe mountain in order to get to where you want to go. And Austin Butler recently did this interview that I saw on social media, and he said something that I felt like was very profound. He said that embarrassment is an unexplored emotion that a lot of people try to avoid. And I'm like, if you think about it, like the first like 30 years of your life, you're just constantly trying to avoid any kind of cringe or embarrassment because being young is inherently very cringe. But if you look at these people who have reached the types of success that people want to get, where you don't have that quote unquote embarrassment, where you're on stage accepting this award and you're breaking barriers and breaking records, everyone kind of says the same thing. Like you got to get through the embarrassment in order to get to where you want to go. Adolescence also won an Emmy for Outstanding Limited or Anthology Series. And I also thought this was an exceptional acceptance speech as well.
This was a huge collaboration. What we do, it's not a game of footy. Do you know what I mean? There is no winners and there is no losers. It's all subjective. But what we managed to create was a beautiful family. And whether you was number one on the call sheet or number 101, we were treated equally and everyone was respected and treated with the utmost of respect. We're all the same. And I think that's how you get the best work and that's how you get the best out of your people. Do you know what I mean? If you fill them with love and give them that opportunity. So whether or not you were an executive producer like the wonderful Jeremy from Plan B, or you were the fella that was cleaning the toilets in our Winnebagoes, we were all equal. So just look after each other and give your mate a cuddle or a kiss and tell them that you love them. Good night, God bless.
I missed everything except Winnebagoes.
I can listen to them talk for hours. I'm obsessed with their accents.
The Burt Show.
Sure, petty is immature, but sometimes it feels good. This was starting to make its rounds yesterday or a couple of days ago online. So this guy, I guess he's in a marriage, and wife ends up having an affair with somebody in the office. So she's moving out of the house, and this dude hires a mariachi band to be behind her as she's moving out. Every room in the house, every item she's taking for hours and hours, there's a mariachi behind her playing.
You know what? That level of petty, I bow down to.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, so Avalon noon tonight is Thursday night. The weather at this point, I think, I mean, I checked it on Sunday. It looked good.
It still looks good.
It looks real good for Thursday night.
Yeah, we're looking like it's supposed to be clear skies, like low 80s. It's going to be a gorgeous night.
This is the fashion show that our Burt's Big Adventure kiddos walk in, and it's a fabulous night. There are laughs, there are cries. Our kids, you can see the excitement in their faces as they're walking down the runway. It's really a fantastic night. We drink beforehand, link up, drink beforehand, and then it's just a celebration of Burt's Big Adventure Kids.
Yeah, so we would love for you to join us. And if for whatever reason you can't make it out on Thursday, we do have a silent auction that, yes, you can bid while you're there, but you can also bid online. So that silent auction is already open at burtsbigadventure.org. So it doesn't matter where you are. If you see some items that you want to bid on, by all means, like the dinner with Heather McMahon.
She is clutch.
At Storico Fresco. She's doing it again. So she did this item last year, and she's back again to offer up her...
Heatherness.
Her presence.
She is one of the funniest women in America, period.
This was a hot ticket last year, because I think last year I probably bid on half the items because they were so cool, and I lost all of them. But did you guys see her Emmys dress?
I didn't.
Oh my God. Go look at Heather McMahon's post today with her Emmys dress. It stopped me in my tracks. Stunning. But I mean, she's funny and all that.
Right?
Stop. I just feel like we've been following her career for a while. And so it's really cool to me to see somebody who is really cool and funny just skyrocket like this. I mean, she deserves it based on merit and talent. But the fact that she's on the red carpet of the Emmys looking like that.
That royal blue dress with the slit.
Yes. But her official Instagram has some stunning photos taken. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so cool when people like that still take the time out to help other people. And my friend went to the dinner, ended up winning last year, and said they had a fantastic time.
And she's the kind of person, you sit down to dinner with her, she'll tell you everything about the Emmys and everything that was going on behind the scenes. Her stories are going to be epic, right? So that's just one of them. We'll highlight a lot of these silent auction items. But if you're a tennis fan, we've got 4 VIP tickets to the Atlanta Cup that's coming, which is a really big deal. We've got a vacation home on 30A that we'll tell you about this week. Also, there's a lot of great silent auction items, and all that money is going to Burt's Big Adventure. Trip we take down to Disney World every year with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. So check it out online, burtsbigadventure.org. All right, Cass, so there you are, feeling pretty good about yourself, then getting humble.
Yeah, so I had a friend celebrate a birthday this past weekend, and she and her husband rented a giant karaoke bus, which is a huge, full-size, think of it like a city bus, huge, decked out on the inside with karaoke. So you can, drink on the bus, you can sing karaoke, and we were going to go to some bars that we used to hang out to. So I met this girl when I was in college. We were 17, and she just celebrated her 40th. So we're like, we're going to go back to some of our old haunts that we used to go to when we were students. So we're rolling on this karaoke bus, and it's a bus full of, she's a lawyer, so it's a bunch of other lawyers, really cool crew. People around the same age, ranging from maybe 32 to 40, right? And we're like, haha, this is going to be great. We're going to pull up. It's a pub called Neighbors, and it's in the Virginia Highlands area. And it's a really popular one with students of the university we went to. When we went there, we would go to Neighbors and Vahi all the time, all of those bars. That was our area. So I'm snickering. I'm talking to some of the guests. I'm like, we're going to pull up in this giant karaoke bus, which says karaoke bus on the outside and has all these singers just painted on the outside. And if you're not familiar with the Virginia Highland neighborhood, It's very quaint. The streets are a little more small, really cute houses. And then there's like a main strip with all the bars on it. But it's not like a huge street. You know, it's a kind of street that has big trees on either side occasionally and the roots will pop in. So it's not the best road. So pulling up in a giant like city bus, basically, it's definitely something to be noticed. And Neighbor's Pub has an indoor part, but they have a huge outdoor patio as well. So I'm cackling because I'm thinking of all these college students, 21, 22, you know, like literally fresh out their parents' house, and a bunch of 40-year-old lawyers rolling up on this excuse me, 40-year-old lawyers and one social media person rolling up on this karaoke bus and then being like, what's going on? And all of us like unloading and being like, what? The old people are here to party, like just joking. And so I'm like hyped up for this. And this is how much I love this woman. Like, I hate crowds. I hate bars. I hate clubs now. They're not for me. I'm at the age too loud. I can't hear you. Why is this drink $17? It's $2 at home. Get me out of here. But I'm like, I'm ready. I'm jazzed, right? I pump myself up. So we roll up and I'm like, here we go. Taking an extra Jello shot because we did those on the bus, and I'm feeling like my 21-year-old self. I'm like, I'm still cool. I got it. We roll off. Crickets. There's no one at the bar because it's too early because it's 8 p.m.
Oh my
and
God.
Everyone doesn't go out till 11:30 p.m. and I forgot that. And so we like literally no line. They check our IDs. We go inside and I'm like, we had a great time, but I'm like, there's no one here. I've been violently humbled because I thought I was cool AF, and instead, no, the cool people aren't even out yet. Yes. So
that's how it goes. Like when people say that they're going to meet out at 9 o'clock now, I'm like, what? That's the middle of the night. Yeah. What do you mean you're going to meet out at 9 o'clock? Where that wasn't back in the day. You didn't even get started till your 10:30 or 11 o'clock.
Oh my God. And I'm looking around. I definitely look like the mom. I could see. I'm like, what are all these children doing in here? Because there were a couple of people. Yes, yes. I am 40 now and I am humbled.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
How badly do you have to done mess up to hit us up and go, Burt Show, she won't talk to me, but she listens to you.
Well, she might talk to
but
you.
But she might talk to you guys. That's exactly what's going on this morning.
All right, so we got this email. Good evening. So I dated this girl who's an avid listener of the show. We were in a relationship for 1 year and 5 months, and I wanted to marry her. We lived together. After 2 months of meeting.
Wow.
I moved into her house because I was a roommate, and it helped her being a single mom of two. Things were amazing at times, but I realized she was still in love with her ex-husband.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
I would say so, yeah.
She often bragged about him paying the bills. She had pictures of him in the kitchen drawer. His mom came in town and stayed with us.
She had a shrine of him in the closet.
She started inviting him over and not conversing with me about it. I always knew he had an upper hand being the father of her kids and me not being able to foot the financial burden and being in a home I didn't lease. I decided to leave over a month ago, and I did get my own place. Her and I are not on good terms because I felt the need to leave and let her explore the option of her ex-husband. I had taken money out of my 401k to propose to her at the Jordan Davis concert 4 days before moving out.
Wow.
I used all my funds getting a new place, and I know the only way to get her back is to propose and have a down payment for a home for our family. I started a clothing printing business this year's Blissful Expressions on Instagram, and if I can't get some advice and maybe some publicity, I can work on getting the love of my life back.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure did mess that one up.
Yeah, I'm going to say that for sure.
Well, I think, you know, you move in together so quickly, and you just don't know what the history is just yet, so you might have bit off more than you could chew right off the bat.
It's tough because I feel like when you move in together, it just completely changes the dynamic of your relationship because you go from, you know, having a little bit of mystery and kind of the option to be able to bounce on your own terms to really like starting to merge your life together to where, you know, if somebody decides to leave the relationship, it doesn't just feel like a breakup. It feels like a part of your life is gone. So I get why you're down in the dumps about her.
You know, and there are two kids involved here also, and the fact that she has such a great relationship with her ex-husband and they're co-parenting well together, and now you're in this situation going, I'm not comfortable with it. This is a tough one to reverse right here, because she seemed to be doing everything right.
Well, and so if you want to move forward with her, right, like before I spend money on a ring, because, I mean, dude, you tapped into your 401k to do this. I mean, that's a big financial move. I hope you have sat and thought not just about the present, but also what the future looks like, because like Bert said, she has kids with another man, her ex-husband. You seem to think that she's still kind of hung up on him or whatever. He's always going to be in her life. So just know, even if you propose and you get the girl, you're going to get the girl with the guy.
So should he buy a ring for the ex-husband as well?
Right. I just want him to recognize that by proposing to her, that does not rid your problem of him. He's always going to be there. So I just want you to make sure that you're okay with that and you're settled with that if that's the route you want to go.
I don't know if we can get the phones going this early on a Monday, but this was his like Hail Mary to get to her and plead for her. Please take me back. But let's say you didn't call a radio station and a man did this for you also. Like he went to desperate measures, or you went to desperate measures to show him how sorry you were about your actions. You 100% knew you were wrong. What did you do to win him or her back? If you didn't have the Bert Show, 1-855-BERT-SHOW.
Well, I heard getting a boombox and standing outside a girl's window is usually a good way to go.
I know a guy that did that. Yep. It worked well.
It works in the movies.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think this is kind of a romantic notion if you think it's going to end well. But at the same time, like, I think the proposal in most cases is a surprise, but the marriage shouldn't be. And so if she's not already on board, this just feels like a really big leap to already put money down on a ring that's going to depreciate the second you purchase it. And then if she says no, then you're left with a huge gash in your wallet and also a very sparkly ring that you're going to have to figure out what to do with.
I think if I'm this guy, I just got to go to her and go like, hey, I was all up inside of my head. Look, I'll tell you from personal experience, my fiance right now has this great close relationship with her ex-husband. And there are times when we first started going out, it's intimidating. It is really intimidating. You can get, as healthy as it is, you can get in your own head about it and go, it's making me feel a little bit on the insecure side, right? Even though it's great, there's nothing sexual going on, there's no attraction going on, but it can be a little intimidating. I think that's the only thing you can do, man.
When you got down on one knee and proposed to Amanda, did you just see him in the background going, hey, I'm going to be here too for the rest of your life?
No, I want him here. He's a great guy. He's an absolutely great guy. But it can get into your head a little bit. So, look, dude, we're not really getting in a whole bunch of calls here from people going like, yeah, I can help you out with this because I was in the same situation. So I think the only thing you can do, Kristen, is just go to him or her and just plead. Like, please take me back.
But again, I want you, before you do that, is this something you really want to do? That's what I want you to mull over. Like, I want you to be able to see. I feel like sometimes you get tunnel vision and you just see the prize, and the prize is her, right? Like he wants to propose to her. He wants to marry her. He wants to have a future, which is great. But you've seen the relationship she has with her father, or with her kid's father. So you need to take those blinders off and see the whole picture and make sure this is what you want.
Yep. But no, for sure, 100%, because there is no other try at this. Mm-hmm. This is it.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I feel like hosts of award shows have been very controversial in the last couple of years. They either really hit a home run and people are like, oh my God, they did so good. Or it was like, oh, that was a little embarrassing. And you start seeing clips of them on the internet circulating with maybe some not so tasteful jokes going around. And I feel like Nate Bargatze ran right down the middle, where I feel like he just has that even keeled personality to where, you know, he's not polarizing. You know, I don't feel like a lot of people love Nate Bargatze, but I also feel at the same time people don't really hate Nate Bargatze. And so he opened up the show, and I think he excelled with the perfect type of humor that he is known for, which is just that dry, kind of even keeled sense of humor that I think the Emmys needed.
Welcome to the 77th Emmy Awards. You know, it's not a big one, like 75 or 80, but it's the one they gave me. It's an honor to be here tonight. I mean, I'm so excited to be here. Just all you guys have worked so hard to get here. I mean, and it's confusing, too, because there's like Reba McEntire. I feel like I'm at the Grammys. Cate Blanchett. I feel like I'm at the Oscars. It's crazy. Tina Fey, I thought, like, they should have had her host, you know? Why? A lot of people were wondering, like, why am I hosting? I don't know what that was, but... All right. It counts as a laugh. It's...
I love his sense of humor.
He's just kind of like, I'm here. Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of all the jokes I've seen from Nate Bargatze, where he just kind of does like this bit where he's like, yep. And then people get so uncomfortable that they just kind of start laughing.
Now, was the monologue, I didn't watch it in real time last night, so I went online this morning and started to watch some of the highlights. Did they do like the Saturday Night Live skit first and then he did his monologue?
I don't know the order of events because I watched it on the internet.
Okay. Because I thought if that was the way they did it, it was a very, at least a unique way to get into the show.
For sure. But something unique he did during his opening monologue, and we talked about this last week, we knew he was doing this, where he said, I am going to donate $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America, and for every second y'all go over your speeches, I'm going to take $1,000 away, and for every second you go under, I will add $1,000. Here's him explaining the rules to a begrudging Hollywood audience.
Everybody gets 45 seconds, and honestly, give your speech. I know how hard you guys have all worked to get here. I'm not trying to take anything away. 45 seconds, that's what you got. And if you want to do more than that, do it on social media later. That's more people are going to see it there anyway. So to start the show, I am going to donate $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America. Remember that. Remember how fun that was, because this part is hard to say. If you stay 45 seconds, it stays at $100,000. I know. If every second you go under, or over, I'm sorry, every second you go over 45 seconds, we will deduct $1,000 away from the Boys and Girls Club. I know.
So, of course, there were a couple of people that went over their speeches and they were like, okay, I'm going to donate the difference, I promise, but this is my moment. Just let me have my moment.
There was a lot that went over.
For sure. And I get it. This is a huge accomplishment. But at the same time, like, why is it so hard to just follow the rules? You know what I mean? Like, you know you have 45 seconds. If you think you're going to win or if you have any hope of winning, why not practice that to get it 45 seconds or under? It doesn't make sense to me. But a lot of people were wondering, okay, so we have so many people going over the speeches. Is there going to be any money by the end of the night? And Nate Bargatze revealed at the end of the show just how much money the Boys and Girls Clubs of America will be receiving.
Thanks to everyone here. The number, I'll be honest with you, it was embarrassing. It went way down. And, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine ever doing this again. So CBS is going to add $100,000. I will give $250,000. It takes us to $350,000 to the Boys and Girls Club.
Look at that.
Thank you guys so much for being out here.
Hey,
JB, America, all the winners. Good night.
It was a fun bit, but at the end of the day, there were so many celebrities that went over. They were way under 100,000.
I would have at the end called out every celebrity who went over, how many seconds they went over, and if they wanted to keep it at 100K, they owed X amount of money. So I literally would have gone through every single person. He didn't stick with the bit, man.
If I was Nate Bargatze, I would just have all my Venmo receipts and be like, this is who will be hearing from me at the end of the night.
That's hilarious. A screenshot of Venmo. Most of the different celebrities that owe you money for going over.
Uh-huh. It's like, these are the people from Severance. Okay, these are the people from Adolescence. You guys will be hearing from my lawyers.
The Bird Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.